Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
The first church that I got to serve at had a small food pantry to serve people in need. But my wife and I realized there was no fresh produce at all in the pantry. And so, in the back of the church, we planted a garden. We broke up the earth, we planted, we tended it, and every day we would go out there and weed it, because weeds really love to grow in gardens. And we went away for about 10 days on a trip, and when we came back, it looked like a carpet of green grass had been laid through the garden, because the weeds sprung up everywhere. I want us to see this little illustration today is a picture of what is happening inside of every human heart. That our hearts are fertile soil, always growing something. But the question we're asking today is, what is growing in our hearts? And through this story of Josiah, I want us to see this. We need to discover God's word again in our lives. Because when God's word is gone, idols grow. When God's word returns, idols are burned. And then finally, I want us to see, how do we actually access the power of God's word in our life so that we, like Josiah, tear down the idols in our hearts? First this, when the word of God is gone, idols grow. In 2 Kings 22, we see this 8-year-old king take the throne. And he really starts leading, though, at about the age of 26, the 18th year of his reign. And he set to work rebuilding God's temple. It had obviously fallen in disrepair, and so he hired many workers to start restoring and rebuilding. And what's really impressive is it says that the workers he hired were so honest that they didn't have to do any accounting. Can you imagine working with a group of people, contractors no less, who, doesn't matter, we'll be honest. That's what this was like. And here we see that Josiah is trying to do the right thing, and he's even working with the right people. But I want us to see right away that even good religious activity, without attentiveness to God's word, can result in idolatry. What Josiah is doing here seems great, but he's really doing something that everyone, many people throughout the world, are always trying to do. And it's this. He's creating a moral code. He's creating a standard of right and wrong based on his experiences and not on the eternal word of God. See, Josiah had a really bad dad. He had a very short reign and was remembered very poorly for doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. And Josiah is trying to correct this, but he doesn't know exactly what to be doing. Josiah is working hard, but he's not necessarily doing the right thing. He is blind, because we learn in chapter 23 that the holy temple of the Lord is filled with all sorts of idols. And even though he's got all this work going on in the temple, he doesn't do anything about the idols that are there. Couple of the idols that are mentioned, it's filled with representations of Asherah. This was one of the Canaanite fertility goddesses, and it was often represented by these wooden poles or even trees that they would strip down and carve. And while these were unrighteous as, you know, on their own, we see that one of them is put in the temple of the Lord. And then the other god mentioned is Baal, which was the chief Canaanite storm and fertility god. And he was believed that Baal could bring rain and crops and prosperity. And Baal worship included some really dark things. It included child sacrifice often, ritual prostitution, and elaborate ceremonies. Now this this God and its priests were the ones that the prophet Elijah had shown that they were nothing back in 1 Kings, back several hundred years before. He said, they're nothing, and he overcame them. But somehow, Baal worship became popular again and is back inside the temple. Let me try to illustrate this for us. I don't know where you stand with Colombian soccer, but let's imagine that the Millonarios built a brand new stadium. Beautiful stadium. And they also had a special part where it was kind of the Hall of Fame and the trophy case, where they could put all of their medals and trophies. Well, imagine if just a few years later, this trophy room was filled with paraphernalia and trophies of Independiente Santa Fe. They wouldn't stand for that, right? It would be outrageous. That doesn't belong there. And sadly, this is exactly what has happened in 2 Kings 22 and 23. They've so distorted what right and wrong is that they don't see how absurd it is to have all these idols taking up residence in God's holy temple. So even though Josiah was trying to do the right thing, he was blind to the real problem because God's word had been neglected. And this is something that both Christians and non-Christians alike are often guilty of doing. When we don't have God's word close to our hearts and our minds, we can wreak so much havoc in the world. During the Civil War era, Christians in the American South intentionally neglected the fullness of God's word, enslaving Africans because they cared more about the idols of power and money. And so they ignored the Bible's teaching about the image of God. Much of the German church during Nazi era did something very similar to the Jewish people. And in South Africa, many white Christians supported or remained silent about apartheid regimes. Without God's word close to us, the idols in our lives spring up. And sometimes they're more malicious, but often they're unintentional as well. This happens as individuals too, that when we don't have God's word and his standard of right and wrong, we start to create our own system of right and wrong. And it's very easy in those moments to make ourselves an idol, that we can do no wrong. In fact, lots of people are distant from God, cold toward God, or at least just don't feel their need for God because they've believed this. I'm a pretty good person. I try to do good things. But that is not enough, we see in this text. It is not enough to save us, and it's not enough to keep us from doing evil in the world as well. Very often, without God's word, idols spring up in our hearts, spring up around us, and we don't even notice. Let me stop here and ask you, what role does the Bible play in your life? Is it being neglected and forgotten right now? Is it something that you're often giving your attention and affection to? If you aren't attending to God's word, it is very likely that idols are growing in your heart. Let me put it this other way. Let me just describe to you what idolatry is. This is from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he describes idolatry like this. An idol is anything in my life that occupies the place that should be occupied by God alone. An idol is anything that is central to me. An idol is anything that seems to me so essential and absolutely necessary. An idol is anything by which I live and on which I depend. An idol is anything that holds such a controlling position in my life that it moves and rouses and attracts me so easily that I give my time, energy, and money to it effortlessly. Let me ask you again, do you have anything in your life like that? When we don't have God's word crystal core in our lives, it is so easy to start giving our attention and affection to other things. And idols are like weeds, can grow up almost anywhere. The good news in our text, though, is that even though when God's word was gone, idols grew, When they rediscovered God's word, they started to burn all the idols. So here's how it happened. Hilkiah finds this book of the law, God's word, in the temple while they're doing these repairs. He gives it to Shaphan, who brings it right to the king, and he reads it in front of him. Josiah, again, was doing the right thing, but after reading this book, he realized that he and the people were not doing the right thing. Notice here that he doesn't try to justify his efforts. He doesn't say, well, we never would have found this book if I hadn't have started the repairs. When he hears God's word, he tears his clothes. He tears them. Makes me wonder, what passage did they open up to in the book of the law? What caused this guttural response? Maybe it was the Ten Commandments, where it says, you should have no other gods before me. And Josiah realized there were gods everywhere. Maybe it was the end of the book of Deuteronomy, where it describes in detail the curses that will come upon the people of God if they continue in idolatry. Maybe it was Exodus chapter 12 and 13 and 14 describing the Passover and God's salvation, because later at the end of this passage, they celebrate the Passover again. Whatever it was, it made Josiah fall apart. And he realized all of his efforts were in vain because he wasn't doing what actually God had required. And he tears his clothes. I don't know what the modern day equivalent of tearing clothes is. I know that when people are really angry sometimes, Major League Baseball players have been known to punch concrete walls. But tearing our clothes in this setting was about having a torn heart. It was being overwhelmed by distress and grief and feeling completely undone. It was a symbolic gesture in some ways of being at the end of oneself. And like all religious actions, it can simply be another thing to do. But here in this passage, we see that Josiah truly has a torn heart, and as a result, he tears his clothes. Now I want to pause here because there is danger for us today. It's possible, maybe even likely with the questions I asked earlier, that you agree that maybe you have neglected God's word in your life. Or maybe when I described idolatry, you realized, whoa, I've got some of that in my life as well. And it's very tempting in this moment to just feel bad. To just get down on ourselves and say, well, I really should be reading my Bible more, I guess. Or, he's right, I have these idols in my life. It's really tempting, though, to just get stuck in that place of feeling condemned, isn't it? And we don't do anything about it. Maybe I can work. No, I don't know. It's very easy to get there. But we don't end up doing anything about it. Because it feels like the garden is too overgrown with weeds to know where to begin. But that's not what I want to encourage us today. Imagine, husbands and children, imagine that you forgot that today was Mother's Day. And you woke up early and it hit you like a ton of bricks. And you said, oh no, I haven't prepared anything. I'm just going to sit here, I guess. And then you go to your wife and you say, you know, I remembered this morning it was Mother's Day, but I didn't do anything. Would you do that? That's what a crazy person does, right? No. You would quickly run out of the house. You'd find flowers on the street. They're everywhere this morning. If you've forgotten, it's not too late. There are plenty of flowers out there. You would go and do something about it because you would sense there was a need for urgency. That even though you can't do it perfectly, it's not too late to jump in. Now, I want to make sure, again, I say this to you. Right, I am not trying to shame you into reading the Bible. I'm not trying to manipulate you to say, well, you really have to do this. What I am trying to encourage is that there is an urgency for us to get close to God's word, to make it the thing that governs our lives, our thoughts, our actions. And we see that there is great power to be had as we attend to God's word. And in this moment, we see that when Josiah rediscovered God's word, he got into action. And he started literally burning the idols that were there. Inspired by the word of God, Josiah dealt with the idolatry, and he was able to help restore the community. By reading God's word, Josiah even saw that he was part of the problem. And he ripped his clothes, and he started this massive restoration of the temple, taking out all these structures and burning them, pulling the priests out of these positions and saying, this is not proper worship. We even see that in chapter 23, verse 11, that he gets rid of horses and chariots that were dedicated to the sun and moon. Now, if I'm Josiah in this moment, I would just maybe rededicate the horses. These are great. I don't know about you, I hate wasting things. When my kids are eating dinner, like sometimes I don't even make dinner for myself because I'm just going to clean up all the leftovers. I don't like to waste. So when I see Josiah doing this, I think to myself almost, it seems wasteful. Why don't you just do something and change? You know why? When we leave the semblance of idolatry in our lives, it grows back after a while. It comes back up. Maybe you are struggling with the sin, the idolatry of lust. But if you leave certain apps on your phone, it's not going to go away. Maybe you are struggling with the idol of greed. But if you have never committed to giving away money to those in need, to the church, if you're always on your finance apps, you are going to be governed and controlled by that idol. Whatever your idolatry is, fill in the blank. If you leave some semblance, some relic of it in your life, it will find a way to grow back up. And in this passage, we see that Josiah gets serious about this restoration plan, that he's not even willing to let the horses and chariots stay that were dedicated to other gods. And as I read that, I feel condemned myself. There are so many things we kind of want to be comfortable and cozy with in our lives that have a power over us. But he was willing to root them out. My question for us today is, how do we tap into the power of God's word? Like, how do we really get it to govern our lives so that, like Josiah, we are excited about burning our idols, ripping them out, and then, even if they're valuable to us, we don't care because we know it's for our good. How do we tap into that type of power? Look at what Josiah does. Three things today. He reads the Bible with people. He celebrates their story within God's story. And finally, he believes God's promises. We're going to walk through these really quickly. But first, notice that Josiah reads the word of the law out loud to the people once he gets it. It's interesting, in this passage, we read a lot of the chunks, but basically Josiah is promised that things are going to go well for him, but that the people are going to be condemned. Again, if I'm Josiah, I would be like, well, great, I'm okay. No big deal. But he cares about his people. And so he immediately takes the God's word in front of them. He gathers the people. It's basically like this massive, massive gathering. He says, from the small and the great were there. And he begins to read it. And like him, the people respond in repentance. And that kicks off this incredible community revival. I would guess that for most of us here today, it is hard sometimes to read the Bible. It's hard to give it our attention in a world that's filled with noises and lights, and it just, everything's meant to distract us, and it's hard to slow down. One, I just want to encourage you, while it's great to read the Bible alone, and you should, try to start reading it with other people. That's why we have Bible studies here at the church. We know that there is a unique power when we read God's word together, when we see insights that we can't see. When we read God's word together, it also creates accountability in our lives. So today, consider joining a Bible study. If that doesn't work for you those times, start a WhatsApp group with a few of your close friends and say, hey, let's read this portion of scripture today through this week. And talk about it with one another. In the fall, I'm hoping to kick off kind of a simple Bible reading and discipleship program through the book of Mark. Be a part of that. But notice that so much power was released when Josiah read God's word with other people. Second thing he did was he celebrated their story within God's story. Apparently, the Passover feast had been neglected for many, many years. This was supposed to be an annual reminder that God saves people by his grace. This happened when they were in Exodus, in Egypt, in slavery, and they crossed the Red Sea, and there was this beautiful ceremony that reminded them about how they were spared from God's judgment. It was a party. It was a celebration. And in the passage today, it says that when Josiah reinitiated this celebration, it had never been like this before. I want to tell you this. Christians should be some of the best at partying. We should know how to party. Not empty partying that's all self-serving, but partying that enjoys the good gifts that God has given. Good food and drink. But then there's a moment where it turns into something so much more than that. Even recently, I was a part of a gathering that was like this, where it became worshipful. Christians should know how to party. When we remember our story and celebrate what God has been up to, we can't help but celebrate. And it's a testimony to the world. And it reminds us what we're about. We're not meant to serve idols. We are served by the living Lord. And now we serve him. That's why I think we should keep making Easter a big deal here. I've talked with some of our staff team. They want to do an Easter egg hunt next year. We should make Easter a party that tells of the wonder of God's love and mercy in our lives. Josiah read the Bible with people. He celebrated their story that's found in it with a party. And then finally, by reading God's word, he was able to believe God's promises even more. There is an unbelievable moment that happens here in 2 Kings 23. In the midst of destroying all of these idols and tearing up the altars and burning things, he pauses and he sees a unique tomb. And he asked them, what's this tomb about? And they said, well, you know, when King Jeroboam was here, a prophet, an unnamed prophet, came to Judah and he said to Jeroboam, one day, this is from now, let me make sure I get my reference right. This is in 1 Kings. This is amazing because you need to look this up a little bit later. This is in 1 Kings 13. And it said, one day, this is 300 years before Josiah comes, it says, one day a king from the line of Judah named Josiah will come and he will take all the bones of these false prophets and he will burn them on the altar. They didn't have God's word. They didn't know this. And all of a sudden, Josiah says, what's this tomb about? And they say, oh, this was the man that prophesied that you would come and destroy all the altars. He was living into God's promises without even knowing it. But when he rediscovered God's word, it encouraged him all the more. Now, let me tell you this. Your name is not found in the Bible. Don't go looking today. What does it say about Cedric? What does it say about Fabian? No. But there are specific promises to all of God's believers. Let me give you three today as we wrap up. I'm going to invite the worship team forward. Three promises that are written to you in God's word today. The first is this, from 1 John chapter 2. This is the promise that God has made to us, eternal life. If you are found in Christ today, even though death will come eventually, we are promised life everlasting with our Lord. It's a promise to you to give you hope today. Second, John 14:16. I will give you another helper to be with you forever. All believers are promised the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to help guide us, to help us to cast out our idols. You have the Holy Spirit of God within you. And third, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In our humanness, we are always tempted to walk away from people when they do not live up to their end of the bargain. And though we sin again and again, Jesus promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. We experience the power of God. We can tap into the power of God's word when we read it together, when we celebrate our story, and when we remember God's promises. But we can't avoid the ending. Sadly, Josiah's life does not end gloriously like we might hope. He dies in battle, even though it said there was no king like him before. What do we do with this? I want to tell us this morning that Josiah's righteousness couldn't save himself, and it couldn't save the people. But Josiah's name means Yahweh heals. It means God saves. And Josiah's life points us to God's promise, another one of God's promises, to raise up someone from the line of King David who would be a perfect king, who would be the king that would bear our sins. Josiah read the word of God to the people, but Jesus was the very word of God. And our sins, like Israel's, deserved death. And wrath was coming for us, as it was coming for them. In verse 26, it said, the Lord did not turn from his burning wrath, which was kindled against Judah. But know this, on the cross, Jesus took all the wrath of God for us so that it didn't have to hit us. And now, because of Jesus, we can receive the smile of God rather than the hot wrath of God. Hey, know this, reading the Bible will not save you. Don't think you can read it enough to prove yourself, but know this, in reading the Bible, it puts us face to face with the God who can save us. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.